Hi, welcome to my Press Box podcast. I'm Bill Pollack, sports director of the Missouri Nets, and it's been a while since I've had one of these, but I've been on the disabled list here at the Missouri Net, and helping me out, you will hear him from time to time on the Missouri Net, is Manuel Haley. Hello, Manny.
Hello, how are you, Bill?
I'm all right. For those of you who don't know, I have been suffering from a kidney stone, and so I've been out for the last week, and we have been trying to do this podcast because I wanted to get your impressions of the whole Mark McGwire thing, which seems like old news from now, but when I've been laid up on the couch, more and more of this story continues to come out, and it gets me more and more aggravated, and the way the fans have reacted has just been ridiculous, and so I had all of this pent-up energy, so now that I'm at least off the DL for the time being, I thought, I got to bring you in because I want to hear your side of the story on this and just share my thoughts on Mark McGwire. And the reason why I bring you in is because you were at Hannibal while the Cardinals were on their caravan. You had a chance to talk with Jack Clark. When Jack Clark was at the winter warm-up in St. Louis, he got booed. And so that's really what I want to talk about. Now, McGwire comes out, and he finally admits that he takes steroids. And I think he does it, Manny, for no other reason other than the fact that he wants to be the hitting coach of the St. Louis Cardinals. He wants to get back into baseball. So he's got to come clean. I think that's the only reason why he did it. I don't think he really had one ounce of sincere remorse in any of his words or actions. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, you know, you and I talked about this right before you went out. And, I mean, I fully agree. I mean, basically, my take on it is, are you really sorry that you did it, or are you sorry that you got caught, and now that you're back into a corner and you're going to be faced with question after question after question, okay, well, now I better come out and say, yeah, I did, but. I mean, it'd be one thing if he just came out and said, I'm sorry, this is what I did, I took steroids, it was wrong, I shouldn't have done it, and, you know, period. If he had just left it at that, that would have been one thing. But then he goes on and says, after Bob Costas, who did the TV interview, asks him, well, something to the effect of, do you think it had an effect on your game? Well, then he goes on and goes, well, no, not really. You know, I was hurt and I needed to get back because I was competing with much younger athletes. Okay, so steroids didn't make you bigger, faster, and stronger. No, they didn't help me. They just helped me get well faster.
Yeah, right, yep. Right. Yeah,
that makes sense.
I didn't buy that at all. And I loved Jack Clark's response to it when he said, then why would you take them? Why you know, I mean, everybody heals and they do recover. And as Jack Clark said, if you're not taking them to hit the ball farther and be faster or stronger or whatever the case is, then why take them? And I thought that was a great point that Clark brought up. And I was just amazed because all I ever hear about Cardinal fans is how smart they are, how knowledgeable they are of the game. Before McGwire showed up on Sunday, the final day of the winter warm-up, Jack Clark was announced, and people boo him. And I thought, you know, here's a guy that is in the good old boys club when you think of baseball, who comes out and speaks against this. Because all of these guys, Tony La Russa, you mean to tell me that he had no idea that McGwire was on steroids? You know, he talks about how he saw McGwire working out like an animal when they were in their weight training programs with the Oakland A's. Well, there was a reason he was working out like an animal, because that's what steroids do. They let you go and go and go and lift and lift and lift. And that never raised a red flag with him. And Tony La Russa is a smart man. He's a lawyer, for crying out loud. So he sounds like an idiot. So I really commended Jack Clark, somebody who grew up in, like I said, that boys club of baseball, that man's club, and where everything is tight-knit. And he came out and he actually spoke out against it. And I thought, well, good for him. Somebody's actually taking the stand that's inside this inner circle and saying, wait a minute, this is baloney, this is BS. And the Cardinal fans, who are supposed to be knowledgeable, boo him for that. And that just steamed me.
Well, you know, the thing is with Cardinal fans, and, you know, first of all, fans can think what they want. You know, that's their right. They can, you know, they can feel how they want to feel. Now, granted, the majority of Cardinal fans, I think if you actually would poll them, I think might be right down the middle with this. Right now that this last story came out last weekend of the guy that sold steroids to not only McGwire but also to Canseco, said, yeah, you know, this is what McGwire's goals were. And the fact that this stuff is not just going to get swept under the rug, a lot of them are going, oh, boy, can this guy just leave, for crying out loud, because it's driving us crazy already. But, you know, the other thing that really kind of irritated me with booing Jack, okay, you know what, Jack can say what he wants. He's not in the game anymore. He's a coach. You know, commentates on TV. But how short are the Cardinal fans' memories? This is the guy that got them into the World Series in 1985. If Clark doesn't hit that home run, the Cardinals don't go into the World Series.
They're right.
And all
well,
of a sudden,
sure.
That's gone. It's like, well, forget about it. Well, okay, aside from the home run chase, what did McGuire do to the Cardinals in the playoffs? Did they get to the World Series in that time? No.
Well,
so that's what I don't understand.
As a fan, I felt like an idiot because during 98 when McGuire and Sosa are chasing Maris's record and we're all falling back in love with baseball, a game that I love, and people are making these absurd assumptions that, oh, the ball is juiced or they're doing something different with the ball to make the ball fly out of the park. And, you know, us as fans, myself included, are buying into this. Boy, maybe there is something to this theory of the ball is wound tighter. When it all comes out that these guys were taking steroids, I felt, as a fan, like an idiot. Like I had the wool pulled over my eyes, and here I was sucked back into a game that I love by a bunch of cheaters. And so I'm thinking, do these fans forget this, that you were treated like an idiot and made to believe that the ball was the reason that these guys were hitting 60, 70 home runs a year, and now it comes out that, no, these guys were cheating, and you're, oh, okay, yeah, you apologize. All right, that's good enough for me. Let's cheer them on. It's idiotic in my view.
Well, and it's not going to go away. I mean, that's going to be the problem here. As we get closer and closer to spring training, it's obvious that McGuire is being handled. It's obvious from the interview, if you watch it very closely, if you listen to any of the radio interviews that he did, there were specific responses that he was giving. It wasn't just, you know, kind of like I was sitting with Jack Clark around the table, just him and I just sitting, you know, just talking. You know, there was none of that with McGuire. You could tell right away from the moment of the word go on the TV interview, on everything else, it's basically been, okay, his lawyers or whoever saying, okay, this is what you need to say, this is what you don't want to say.
Yeah, right,
and
absolutely.
It was the same way after the caravan. I don't know if you heard that or not, but after the caravan, they originally, in St. Louis, they were supposed to get to McGuire before everything started. Well, that got pushed back, so all the reporters had to wait until after the caravan was over, and then instead of being in an ante room or someplace, they were out in the hallway.
Yeah.
And they would take no questions on steroids. It all had to revolve around either hitting coach, caravan, whatever. So it's like, okay, so this is how it's going to be year-round, because every place he goes with this team, this is just going to keep coming up again and again and again and again. It's not going to go away.
Nope. And you know what? It'll be fine. We'll wrap up here on this McGuire topic. It'll be fine, but if Matt Holliday goes the first 2 months of the season and he's hitting 240 and the Cardinals are 4, 5, 6 games out of first place the first 2 months of the season and this team is toward the bottom of the National League in hitting average, you can bet fans are going to turn on him and they're going to want McGuire off the team. So his success is going to depend on, and his future is going to depend, obviously, on how well this team does. Otherwise, these steroid things will crop back up and fans will turn on him very quick if the team is not hitting come the start of 2010. All right, we're joined by Manny Haley. He is a contributor here to the Missouri Net, also works at our affiliate in Mexico, Missouri at KXEO Radio. He's joining me on this Press Box podcast. Let's talk about the Pro Bowl, which is for the first time ever not going to be in Hawaii, and it's going to be played the week before the Super Bowl. To me, this is one of the stupidest ideas that you could possibly have, because you have the two best teams playing the next week in the New Orleans Saints and the Indianapolis Colts, and you have none of their players in the Pro Bowl, which is a meaningless game anyway, and now you take away the best players in Drew Brees and Peyton Manning, and they're not even playing in this Pro Bowl. Why are they even having this thing?
Well, originally, I believe Roger Goodell said the whole reason behind the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl was to draw more fan interest. Okay, I'll give him that. However, what kind of fan interest is there going to be in a game where the fans chose the players, but those players aren't going to be there? It goes against every bit of common logical sense there is. And, you know, first of all, they moved it from Hawaii back to the United States. Okay, I understand that. Part of that, I think, was in the back of their minds. They were thinking, oh, we do this fast enough, maybe John Madden will actually call a Pro Bowl. But they didn't. He already retired. He never got to see one because he doesn't fly. So you lost the TV aspect of it. But now you're basically saying, okay, the rules are so relaxed in the Pro Bowl anyway. There's not a lot of contact. It ends up being like 60 to 40, whatever. But why not at this point, if you're going to have it the week before the Super Bowl, why don't you just do what baseball does and hockey and the NBA and the NHL and stick it right in the middle of the season. Why do it a week before the Super Bowl? Do it between weeks 8 and 9. Have an extended bye week, whatever. Extend the season by 1 week. You're going to draw more interest from a game like that than, and, you know, not to take away from these guys, because these guys that are playing, you know, instead of, you know, the Drew Brees and the Peyton Mannings, you have the Donovan McNabbs and the Tony Romos. Hey, they deserve to be there. There's nothing wrong with that. But you're just, you're taken away from it completely now.
You know what they need to do? They just need to revamp the game, and they need to do, I don't know. I don't know if they need to come up with helmet cams or, you know, I know they have microphones. I mean, they need to do stuff. They need to do something different, and it just needs to be a football celebration. And then I don't mind that the week before the Super Bowl, but then modify the rules of the game and, I don't know, give them 5 downs to get a first down. Just do something that's different and showcase their talents, maybe have a skills competition. You know, maybe you play a quarter and then you stop and you bring out, you know, the top 4 kickers from pro football, and they, you know, they put on a field goal display, or you know what I'm saying? You know, throw a garbage can out in the corner and have the top punters try to kick it. Just do some different things. Just mix it up. Have more personality. Have more fun. Play a little football, but just make it something completely different than a game, because the game itself does not match to anything in terms of intensity or anything close to an actual NFL game. So if they just revamped the whole thing and they don't even call it a Pro Bowl, I'd be fine with that. But not having the 2 top teams or any of their players represented in the Pro Bowl makes no sense to me. All right, we'll wrap things up with Missouri Tiger football. I don't know if you've heard about Sean Weatherspoon, but he was playing around 251, 252 during the season. He's lost 11 pounds, and he's kicking butt and taking names at the Senior Bowl practice. And from what I'm hearing, scouts are pretty impressed with him down in Mobile, Alabama, which is great. I think he's got the heart and the desire, and he's got that ability, I think, to take his game to another level that I think he'll be a good NFL player, and I just hope he does well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, Sean is a great kid, is just a great all-around person on and off the football field. And, you know, the thing is, unfortunately, you know, we didn't get to see him probably play as much of a role on that defense that maybe people were thinking of this past season. But he still had a great year and has had just a great 4-year career at Mizzou. And I can see him contributing in a lot of different aspects to a lot of different NFL teams. And you never know, he could be one of these dark horse sleepers in this NFL draft where all the focus has been on offensive linemen, defensive linemen. He could sneak in there and he could really make an impact right away with, you know, any one of these, you know, teams that decide to take a chance on him.
Yeah, I hope he does well. I think he's just a great kid. All right, now you had seen a story on KOMU, it's a TV station out of Columbia, that is the university considering this, or this is just a rumor or something that people would like to see, but an actual Tiger at Missouri football games?
Well, supposedly it has started. I don't know if it started with the university, but it has been bantied about them trying to get a live Tiger. And it escapes me what group on campus that is actually doing it, but it is within the university family. Now, I don't think the university itself has said one way or another what they want to do. But I think they want to be like Memphis and Louisiana, LSU rather, that have real Tigers at their sporting events. They were actually talking about trying to get a real Tiger for the home football games come this fall. And I think it's just in the beginning stages. But, you know, this is something that I mentioned to Mike Alden back in 2006. Hey, have you guys ever thought about a live Tiger? You know, I mean, why not? I mean, it doesn't, you know, obviously in a cage, it's not going to be, you know, like Rocky the Buffalo out in Colorado. They're just not going to let him run loose. But,
or Bevo, you know. Right? Bevo, yeah. For Texas, right? The bull, the steer, yeah, that thing's loose, you know?
Yeah. And heavily sedated, from what I understand.
I would hope so.
Yeah, they've had some players actually run into that area, and I think, you know, Bevo just kind of looks, whereas otherwise I think he'd charge him. But I think that would draw, you know, some interest, and it would, you know, again, you don't necessarily have to draw people to go see Mizzou Tiger football games. But it is a drawing card for some people to go and to see something like that.
Oh, I think it would be great. I was at a Memphis basketball game a couple of years ago when they were playing Louisville. ESPN was there, and they brought this Tiger out in this glass cage. And I got right up to the glass, and I'm telling you, my legs were shaking. This thing was probably sedated because he was just kind of sitting there, but he was staring at me, and I'm not kidding you. I was 8 inches away from his face, and that was such an awesome feeling to think, look, I am 8 inches away, and there's glass protecting this animal that could eat me in 30 seconds. It was, it's great. It'd be a great draw. I think it'd be great. I hope they do it. I hope they do it.
Well, and it would be kind of an intimidation factor, too. I mean, you know, they've really marketed the zoo so well. We put in the huge new sport at the one end of the field. They've done some other things around the stadium. Why not throw a tiger in that south end zone? And, you know, we've got a veterinary school right there at campus. It's not like they don't have anybody to take care of it.
Well, let the thing loose.
Yeah.
Gladiators.
I don't know if you want to let them loose in that part of Columbia.
You know, while, you know... Who's
while
Furman's out there working on their punts or something? Just let the thing loose. I mean, of course, you know, our luck, they'd get a tiger and it'd be just like the fans, you know, wouldn't make any noise. And by the second half, he'd be sleeping. So,
yeah, that could be too. I mean, it's not like Uga from Georgia. You couldn't, you know, tie it up and leave it on the sidelines because somebody'd go out of bounds. And even if it was sedated, it might take a swipe at somebody.
I love it. I think they should do it. So, all right. Well, Manny, after a long week and a half of not being able to get the Mark McGwire stuff off my chest, I appreciate you coming in and giving some insight on Jack Clark and his thoughts. And we'll see what happens with the Pro Bowl. I'll give it a shot with an open mind, but I'm not going to be interested. And hopefully they'll get a live tiger at Missouri football games. I think that'd be great.
All right. Sounds great, Bill. Nice to talk to you.
Yep. Thanks for joining us on this Press Box podcast. I'm Bill Pollack of the Missouri Net.